We're starting to get pretty close. Slichas are in the air, and Rosh Hashanah. And we're continuing. I know there are certain people who figure out the connection between every shmooze. I enjoy that. They go on walks and try to figure out how one shmooze leads into the next. That's how it works over here. We're trying to give over chachma. I'm not really capable of giving over mussar because I have my own problems. I really do. But chachma there is. Chachma that we were makabel from our rabbeim. To get a little bit of clarity, we're coming to Rosh Hashanah, and we're coming to the Rabbono Shalom and asking him for another year. We're asking for a new lease on life. And it's getting closer. And we have to ask basic life questions. You know, a lot of people, when they do a cheshbon ha-nefesh, they ask small questions to themselves. Not to belittle small things. You know, do I have brachos with kavana, or do I sometimes space out? That's an important question. But sometimes they forget, who am I? Who am I? Who is this guy? I'm now coming in front of Hashem, and I'm saying, Stark, you want another year? You know, who is this guy, Stark? Who are you? Forget your you know, brachos with kavana. Who are you? What are you? And a person is his hashkafas. Hashkafa doesn't mean, you know, whether or not you wear a hat while you drive, or just when you daven, or you wear, you know, one of those big knit, you know, maybe that, I don't know what that is. Those things, you know, those huge things that they have in the shtachim, in the settlements. Whatever it is, that's not hashkafa. Hashkafa is an outlook. Hashkafa is your outlook, and your outlook is who you are. So we're now going to enter a very simple question which has bothered me for a while, and I never had a chance to really probe the inyan, to look inside and try to understand something that we see all the time. And that is that Torah is great, we know that, but Torah and mitzvahs are better than money. Whoa, that's interesting. Torah and mitzvahs are better than money. You probably heard that before. The truth is, for me, it's a big chiddush. Torah and mitzvahs are better than money. If you tell me that, it's not a big chiddush. But if David HaMelech tells me that Torah and mitzvahs are better than money, so I would ask David, why are you talking about money? You know, you're David HaMelech. I like to have a Lexus or whatever, and therefore I'm going, Torah is better than a Lexus. But David HaMelech, Toivli Torah's Picha Me Alfei Zol V'Kesef. David HaMelech Beruach Kadsho tells us, by the way, Torah is better than thousands or perhaps millions of dollars. Shkarach. You need David HaMelech to tell you that. And it goes weiter. Shlomo HaMelech, Im Tivakshena Kikesef. Ukimat Monim Techapesna as Tovin Yeras Hashem. If you seek it out like money and treasures, then you will understand what it's all about. What's all this money business? What are we talking about money? Sounds like money's pretty important. If I use money as an example, it just means I'm in this tiny little world that we're in right before Mashiach where money is so important. But they're talking about it. They're saying Torah's better than money. And it's even more than that. The Arizal in Shar Ruach HaKodesh says that when a person does a mitzvah, he should try to believe and understand and have the simcha atzuma that this is more than millions of dollars. This is our gauge of what's important. Basically, if you follow this program, you're going to be thinking about money a lot. You're going to think about how much Torah is more important than money. But there's clearly something going on here. What is the connection between Torah and money? If you want to tell me Torah is mesuka kedvash, plenty of psukim, that it's sweet, it's geshmak. But there's something that's detailed over here, which is the connection between Torah, the Torah that we learn, and why it is like and better than millions of dollars. So the easy way out is go, it's Olam Haba. Olam Haba is just millions of dollars. We're not, guys, we didn't come to yeshiva, they didn't pay me to give a shmooze like that. If that's our level of understanding, then we can all go home right now. What in the world is the kesher between Torah and money? And why is Torah more than money? Fair kasha? So let's try to understand money. I know you're going to think I'm off my rocker, but I want to discuss money for a little bit. I like money. I do. I like money a lot. So it's good that I'm giving a shmooze about money. And I would like to understand what money is. First of all, Rebbe was Mechabed Ashirim. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, the author of the Mishnayos, was Mechabed Ashirim, was Mechabed wealthy people. A lot of different pshatim as to why, but the most pashut pshat is that there's something about someone who's wealthy that's worth being Mechabed, that's worth respecting. There's a certain mila over here. Why? That he is a Ferrari? That he goes on ski trips to Utah, to Switzerland, to New Zealand? That's what we're Mechabed by an usher? There's something over here by somebody who has money. So what is it? Money is different than all other things in Olam Hazeh. A person can have five houses, but he can be in debt. A person can go on trips. I know people, they take loans so they can come to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, go to the best hotels, sell the biggest matzav. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about money, having money. A person who has money, what is the mila of money? And Rav Dessler says the following profound thing. Money is options. A person who has money has the power to decide almost everything. Unfortunately, you can't decide health. If a person's sick, you cannot pay enough money for them to get better. But the vast majority of the things that we need in life, where there's money, there's a way. Money is a doorway into other things. It's power. The Svarim HaKdoshim say money is gvura. Is gvura. I want to say the word osher, which is wealth. Also is, if you change it around, is eser, which we say is 10, is all components of life. There are 10 maimaris of creation. And it can be changed to rash, which means noise, craziness, boom! You can create a matzav. You can rent out MSG. You know, and do something cool over there. Flashing lights and everything. He can make a rash. Oysher means rash. He can do this. He has the power. And any Rosh Yeshiva, no matter how great in Torah, when they sit in front of an usher, obviously it's the Rabbono Shalom, but you know what? This man can decide the destiny of a yeshiva, too. Of course, it's the Rabbono Shalom, but he has the ability to be zeicha to things that other people can just by saying yes or no, just by signing a check. This is an incredible, incredible power. It beats any Tainug of Olam Hazeh. It beats any restaurant. It beats any yacht. It beats any trip. It's a feeling of kesef, money. Money is a separate enjoyment that a person can have. Kesef, zav, gold, and silver, these are what we call commodities. Things that you can get other things for, whatever you want. And this power of having options, of seeing the world this way, that I can do whatever I want, is an incredible thing. And the problem is that we don't understand how Torah is shaykh to this. There couldn't be a greater simcha than winning the lottery. There couldn't. First, forgetting all the other schmoozes, we'll talk about how bad money is another time. Like, this guy's lost it. Don't worry, there's plenty of time to talk about it. Right now, we're talking about how great money is. When you win the lottery, you know what's the greatest thing about it? You just sit there and go, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can... anything. All roads are open for you. Like we've been saying in the past schmoozing, there's no greater simcha in the world than having options. The Maharal that we quoted last time says that the whole yisod of simcha is simcha, five kolos. Five kolos, kol sasan, kol simcha, kol chasan, kol kala. Five kolos is me in the middle, that's I'm one, and then four directions. I can go this way, I can go that way, I can go this way. Simcha is feeling like you have options. And money is options. There's no one in the world who wouldn't want this. If Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel Zatzal had $5 billion, Mashiach would have come. Based on that heart that he had, if his hands could be as big as that and his wallet, we would have been done. There's no person who can't appreciate this. The Maharal says an oni is kemes. Why is Chazal say that? But the Maharal is masbir. Why is a poor man like a dead person? He doesn't have options. He's tied to his situation. So now we have to understand, Torah is better than this, Rabbi Hosai. Whoa. It's better than this. So now we have to figure this out. This is a strong kasha. Now that we really understand what money is, it's not just sushi and a yacht. It's living. It's living, Rabbi Hosai, to have money. Why in the world is Torah better than this? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Im tivakshena ki kesef uchumat monim tichapesna." If a person seeks out Torah like money. Uchamat monim techapesna. And he looks for it like hidden treasures. How do you do this? He says, first, the Gemara says, how are you mavakish kikesef? You have to be memayit bischayra. You have to work less. And there's always going to be this challenge between working and Torah. Why? Not just for parnasa reasons. The thrill of making money and the thrill of Torah are two things that are battling each other. And a person is memayit bischayra. And he then views that all of my options, all of the things that I would like to do, if I would be a Talmud Chacham, wow, the ability to answer questions, the ability to have wisdom on all areas of life, the ability to cruise through every situation, a person realizes this, and he puts the other things on the side, and he realizes that the other types of options don't continue. They don't go weiter. Such a person, he's tapping in. I was at a Shiva call this week, and I davened chakras there, and I couldn't believe my question that I had. There's something you say at a Shiva house, and it was good I saw it this week. I've seen it many times. I never thought about it. It says over here in Kapitel Mem Tes, you say this at the end of davening over there. It says, Al Tira Ki Yashir Ish. Don't be afraid because somebody will get wealthy. Ki Yirbek Vod Beso, because he has a matzav. I don't understand this pasuk. It says, it doesn't say don't be jealous. That I can understand. If it says don't be jealous of a wealthy man, Rabosai, I understand that very well. It says don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of a wealthy man. What is the boogeyman? I've heard of arachnophobia, fear of spiders, claustrophobia, fear of wealthy people. Any psychology course, this is a new one. You know what the fear of a wealthy person is? It was pasha to me when I read it, and I saw it's mafurish in the Radak. It's the fear of seeing someone who looks like they're really living and going, ooh, he looks like he's really living. Wow, blue label. All the time, every kiddush, the guy's got a blue label. He's pouring freely. He's got another one. This is really happening over here. Rich phobia. Fear of options. Then you say to yourself, maybe I shouldn't be in yeshiva. I mean, look what this guy's doing. He's living. He's experiencing. He's in a matzav. And I'm a bench warmer. What am I doing here already? And that's a real fear. Because if you watch this, as one of our buddies over here said, Sukkot in Yerushalayim is the holiday of the wealthy. It's where all the wealthy shine and everybody comes out with their blue labels plus blue labels old. They have these things you haven't heard of that are like 400 years old, you know, pouring them. And it looks like this is where it's at. And at a Shiva house, they tell you, don't worry. You know why? Because you know that guy, Jackie? Jackie had that blue label, but now you went to his Leviathan. Looking in there, 6 feet under. Hey, where's the jacuzzi over there? It's not in it. Where's the blue label? What happened to Jackie? You know what the answer is? Jackie lost his options. Because we forgot to tell you that even though this is really exciting to move and shake and do and be, but it comes with a time. Al tira ki yasher ish ki lo v'moiso yikach hakol. He won't take a single one of these things to the ground. And then all of a sudden, you have more options than Jackie. Look at that. And at every Shiva house, a person finally gets, they go there, they're Menachem Avil, they're very nice, but deep down, they're looking around, they see all these fancy paintings that look like the Mona Lisa, and they're thinking, nice house, but Jackie's not enjoying that anymore. Jackie lost his options for that. I'm living because I'm living with the real options. I'm living a Chayei Olam, I'm living a Metzias of Godless, a Metzias of Torah. And when a person enters this matzav, they become what's called a mavakish. You have to be drunk. You have to be drunk over Torah in order to be matzliach. You have to be like somebody who wants to be a CEO. In order to appreciate the beauty of Torah, says Rabbeinu Yonah over here, it kimat monim techapesna. He says the following thing, l'fi ha'arevus b'tircha v'chipusa. the more meshugana you are over looking for these missing things in your life, you will become wiser when you see what's in front of you because you realize the Torah is where it's at, and you will remember your learning. You're a mavakish. How are you mavakish Torah? How do you do it? You sit more hours? No. You sit like somebody who's in a very motivated situation. He's in Yale Business School. In Yale Business School, everyone is cha-ching, they're thinking about money, and they're sitting and they're listening to these classes. In Yale Grada, there's not even a serious grading system. Once you get into Yale Business, you're pretty good to go if you pass. It's such a high level matzav over there. It's pretty good situation. But they're all so serious. They keep asking questions. But professor, what if this? What if that? You know why? Because they want options. They want to live. They want to be. Sometimes you look at people in shiur, you know, and I like watching this. I don't get a chance to give shiur. This is the only thing I get, Rabosai. Okay, I get a little musar vad, you know, dinky little musar vad. Aside from that, what do I get over here? Nothing. This is my chance. Fine, but I, you know what? The other day I was looking at a shiur. A big rabbi was giving the shiur, and I'm watching these bachurim like this. And I'm like, thank Hashem, I don't give a shiur. Thank you, Hashem. Once I had seminary girls in my house, Rabosai. Once. You know what happened? I sat at drasha at the table. You could ask my wife if you don't believe this happened. I started speaking, and I see these girls are like this. And I'm speaking, and then I go, I'm not going to say a Dvar Torah over here. I'm not going to speak. And they just go, I'm like, that was it. It happened 9 or 10 years ago. I haven't had girls at my table since. That's it. Why? Because what is this? It's like cheap. Torah is a mavakish. Mavakish means I want something here. I realize that there are my options are over here in this place. And we see an amazing remez to this. An amazing remez to this pasuk. Kimat monim techapesna. Rabbi Yochanan had a Talmud named Reish Lakish, a Gemara in Pei Dalet, in Bava Metzia. And he died. Reish Lakish was nifter. And Rabbi Yochanan couldn't function. At the end, he just pushed it. He couldn't be in this world. Rachmana Litzlan. And no one could appease him. He says, my Talmud, Reish Lakish, asked me 24 kashas on every shtickle Torah. And I gave him 24 answers. And you guys just bring proofs for my shtickle Torah. Well, that sounds very nice to bring proofs. Like, what's he getting so worked up about? All these. Well, I love that if people bring proofs. You know what it is? Rabbi Yochanan knew what life is. And he knew there were new frontiers over here. Reish Lakish opened up for Rabbi Yochanan doorways, vistas in Torah. And he couldn't function. And says the Marsha, what's this 24-24 business? He says the 24 kashas plus the 24 answers is 48, keneged the memches kinyani ha-Torah. And he said in the shtickle Torah that Rabbi Yochanan said himself adds up to memtes, 49. 49 is the ultimate experience. 7 is the natural world. 7 times 7 is 49. 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer. He opened up everything for him. From here you have a raya that Akash is a beautiful thing. You see, Akash's 24 Akashas are counted into windows into Torah. And he says it's merumas in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kimat monim techapesna. You should look for Torah like it's a hidden treasure. He says the word matmon, which means a hidden treasure, is memtes, 49 monim, times. And he says, learning with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish was alive. It was real. And if a person goes through shiur every year, just like this, and just listens to things to be yotzei, and just looks for the time to be over, they're never going to touch Torah. They will never get anywhere. They'll get a lot of mitzvahs. But they'll be krum as could be, because they'll never understand that what's in front of them, they need a metal detector. What are these things in the ground? You have to go, do you ever see people on the beach with the metal detectors? They're looking for things. How many of us, when we're learning, are looking for MS? Are looking for options, are looking for new yesidus, things that will clarify such complicated parts of our lives. We're not looking for it. We don't have that understanding that toivli toiras picha me alfei zav kesef. We don't understand that it's worth alfei alafim. And a person who's not willing to even entertain that will never advance. You can't. Torah only works when you know something's here. I've never had a chiddush in my life without thinking that there's something amazing there. It's impossible. There's no such thing as having a chiddush in Torah without looking there and going, I know there's something great, I know there's something great, I know there's something great. That's how you're mechadish in Torah. Until you start doing that, until you start hearing a shir, and you start saying, my Rebbe is saying something that's worth my life. Let me challenge him. Let me ask Akasha. Let me go over it. We leave our shir, we go to lunch, blank. What was the shir about? Who said I have to remember that shir? It's actually something important. It's actually real. It's actually life. You leave the shir, you go, Rebbe asked three kashas. He only answered two of them. Nobody else realized that for me. Ew. Get back to Rebbe. Don't let him go home. Grab him. Even if we're not holding by that. I agree. I'm not holding by that. I'd like a check for $1 million, Rabosai. But you know what? We have to know that that's the way you get into Torah. You can't start Torah unless you agree that there is Be'emunah Shleima more in this than millions of dollars. And if you don't start that way, you'll just go on for years and years, and you'll put on your beats and listen to some shir, and then you'll go and go on the ski trip again, and then put on your beats on the plane and listen to a shir, and you're a good Jew guy, whatever. But you're empty, you have nothing, you have no chachma, you have nothing. You're just a guy who clocks in and clocks out. That's not what Torah is. Torah is a problem, a solution, a clarity, a dveikus b'Hashem. And everyone else is just going, and they're running with all their different options, and they're small people. Maybe someone will say, I want to be a supporter of Torah. Ooh, this is the famous, I'm going to support yeshivas. So now we're going to do something that's never been done before. We're gonna talk about supporting yeshivas. This is very risky. This should not go on the website. This might be very bad for the yeshiva. So let's close the mics. We're going to do it. Let's see what happens. We could always not put it on. I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Naftali Kaplan, my mashgiach. I used to be a little bit involved in stukas. Very exciting to be involved in stukas. Call people, raise money, v'chule. And my mashgiach, Rav Naftali, he told me that to beware. He gave me a yisod that I carry with me in my life. He says, you should just understand. He says, a person who's dealing with money says, you can do this. You can take somebody who has no money for a chasana, and you can drop off at their house $30,000 or $40,000. You know what a rush that is? It's a big rush. You feel like you saved the universe. And it's good. And you can keep going like this, call a few guys. If there are a lot of people who have money to spare, it's very, very easy to do this. And you start feeling amazing. He goes, but what are you? Did you grow from this? No. Who are you? You're still the little old tiny guy that you were before. Yeah, you made somebody happy, but you're still a tiny guy. And most people, he says, who are involved with these things never grow up. They're little kids who think that they could just write off checks here, checks there, and they never bichlal entered the world of being a big person. They're hiding behind these ridiculous things. If I want any one of you, if you have, let's say $500 million. Anybody here have $500 million? I can get you on Mishpacha. I can get you on the cover of Mishpacha. You know how? Very simply, give me $5 million. I'll put it in a few interesting places. First, I'll get your name on a lot of Sfarim. It'll be the Schwartz edition of this, the Schwartz edition of that. That'll only cost you $1 million. Okay? Then I'll get you a building for $1 million. I'll get you a dining, you know, something near the Kaisel that everybody passes by. And by the time we're done with all these $5 million, you'll be there on the cover of Mishpacha, the savior of the world of Torah. Da, 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 da. Nobody mentioned to you the following problem. That $5 million, first of all, there were tax deductions that you just really didn't have any. You were going to give it to Uncle Sam, and it's going to them. You didn't give Meiser, buddy. Buddy, with your $5 million that you feel so fuzzy and cushy inside, and that you got on the cover of Mishpacha, when you get to Shemayim, you know who's ahead of you online? This guy who worked for 10 shekels an hour, and every time after 1 hour, he puts one shekel in the pushka. He brings Meiser. And if you don't believe me, I don't blame you. It's a little bit insane what I'm saying. Rabbi Inuyona says it, and the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says it's good to be poor because you know you gave Meiser. He says the other ones, they're in for the shock of their lives. With all the people crying and saying how inspiring, you saved my daughter from this. And Shemayim, you didn't go anywhere. You were somebody who was mobile down here, but you didn't give Meiser. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, in Pirkei Avos, Paragimel, Yud Gimel, Al Yachshov HaOshir HaGadol B'Seisai Harbeit Tzedaka Im Lo Nasim Lefi Oishor Rav Nechasev. He shouldn't get high on himself for giving so much money. Kama Mos Pizarti B'Tzedaka Kama Nefashos Yamusu. How many people would have died without me? V'Hitzaltim, I saved their lives. You could write pages on this guy. You could write an art scroll book about this guy. V'Hu Lo Yada B'Chol Eila Ki Tova Ani. He didn't know that the Ani is better than him. V'Nosin Hon Rav Kama Amashir. The Ani who just gave his little miser is on a higher madrega. This is an Alma de Shikra. This is a place of hiding from real growth. That person, yeah, that person is greater. The other one just made a lot of noise. What's a real zvulin? We talk about Yisachar zvulin. You want to know what a real zvulin is? You don't want to know what a real zvulin is. You want to? Zvulin was not a gvir. He wasn't a guy sipping a pina colada and writing out a $1 million check because Rabaron Leib's Gabbai called him. That's not what he was. You know what Zvulin was? Zvulin was living on ships. Okay, I can imagine him coughing from tuberculosis. Okay, he just worked like a crazy man. The Midrashim described that Zvulin was going and going and going just so that Yisachar could learn. Zvulin was toivli toiras picha me'alfe zavakesef. Zvulin had no oilam hazeh. All he did was say, there's going to be an Olam Haba. And the Al-Shuk says what it says, Smach Zvulin b'tzeisecha. Be happy, Zvulin. When you go to work, it's trying to cheer him up because his life is a living Gehenna. His whole life is just going, and it's very hard to be on the sea. But Zvulin was drunk over Torah, and he was willing to sit with that. That's a big man. That's a big person. And we have such people. Rav Zev Wolzin Zatzal, I heard from my Rebbe Rav Don Segel, the Mashkiach. He said, you call him Hatzadik, Zev Wolfson. I heard from Rav Asher Weiss, there was no person who gave more tzedakah in the history of Klal Yisrael than this man. And Rav David Abu Chatzera told me the following story, which will be like, huh? Yeah, I'll tell you. He was in the airport, Rav Zev Wolfson, and he was there pushing his suitcases with his two hands, and someone said, why don't we get a cart? And he says, a cart costs money. This is a man who was worth quite a few $1 billion. He says, a cart costs money. So he says, okay, says the other guy says, he'll pay for it. Okay, fine. He says, this is, my money is Klal Yisrael's money. He says, if I can do this, I'm not wasting my money because my money is Klal Yisrael's money. That's a zvulin. That's a zvulin. When Reichman Zatzal lost all of his money, he became totally bankrupt. You know what he was doing on Shabbos? They saw he was reading more difficult svarim than usual, more deep, more machshavadik. And they said, you usually don't learn these svarim. He says, on Shabbos like this, I need this to keep myself in my learning. Wow. You know what I would do if I lost that money on Shabbos? Probably, it would probably be Yom Shekula Shabbos. They'd have to take me away. That's a big person. But mi'idach gisa rabbi said, there were times, one time I was at a table at a simcha with two people who I don't want to exaggerate, but probably were worth at least $300 or $400 million. That's interesting. You know, you sit at the table with them, you want to hear? I'm not going to tell you what their conversation was, but their level of understanding of life and their level of cheapness was one of a fifth grader. And I said to myself, I would pay $200 million not to have a conversation like that. I would pay $200 million to not be so tiny. Torah is the metzias that a person advances with. Everything else, it's not. Are people happy? Are people happy? I think that Goyim can be happy and the other people could be happy. Well, it sounds a little bit mechudish, but I have arrived from Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim says, Olam Hazeh is so short. He says, but Echad Mine Elef, one in a thousand, lo yimatzeh sheyarba olam lo anos v'shalva amitis. He says, one in a thousand can get in all of the chills in the world. But that guy, Ilu Yagia Lameyashana, after 100 years, kfar batel min olam, he's dead. So you can be very happy here, but you become extinct. And the idea of simcha, like we said, is movement. There's so many people, they're just going. First they're going to ski New Zealand, then Utah, and then this way. Then they pick up snowboarding, then they go to New Zealand again, then they go to Utah, try that. Then they're done with that, then they go scuba diving. They will be happy their whole lives. There will be rich phobia. There will seem like they are living. But the joke is on them, Rachmana Litzlan. Because Torah is worth millions and millions more. This thing just stops at the end. Torah goes weiter and weiter. And when a person understands this, a person becomes dedicated to investing in Torah. Everybody's excited about what they're doing. It says that in the tefillah that we say, Anu ratzim vehem ratzim. We run and they run. Everybody's running. You know where they're running to? They're running to something called a be'er shachas. You know what a be'er shachas is? A well, a be'er, is something that brings up new water, fresh water, all the time. I heard Kibalti Merabosai from Agon Rav Moshe Shapiro. He said the word be'er, the word a be'er, is like vitality, is life, is new waters. Shachas is destruction. You can't have a be'er of shachas. You can't have something that's always new and always new. And it's filled with nothingness? And the answer is you can. Look at everybody's life. That's here. It's always so much is going on and they're doing absolutely nothing. They're not advancing a key who's that. They're not getting anywhere. A person can spend 1 million years traveling on their iPhone. 1 million years. It would take me 1 million years to be like the Vilna Gaon, maybe more. They can also. You can sit there for 1 million years and never have a repeat experience. There's a feeling of movement. And a person can have contentment with that because they're constantly moving. This is the ultimate Yetzer Hara that a person has, is unlimited options. It can be a distraction forever. If a person only had a certain amount of sitcoms, so then how many times could they watch rerun after rerun after rerun? Then they go to the base matches. Today, no. You don't have to do anything twice for the rest of your life. You know how dangerous that is? You know how dangerous that is? It's a feeling of eternity. It's a feeling like things will always be the same. And then a person comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says to him that he wants another year. Why? Why? He's not going anywhere. He's not doing anything. When it comes to this nakuda of advancing, we've been talking about this. MS, the Maharal says, is I start with an idea. Aleph. Mem is I continue that idea. And Tuf, I see it to the self. That's the life of a Ben Torah. Is someone who starts with Aleph, which is Hashem. And then he follows through to Mem and then to Tuf. You know what happens if you just want to move without Hashem? You want to take the Aleph out? Maral says, Mace. If you take an Aleph out of MS, the guy's dead. He looks like he's walking and talking. He's dead. He's a wind-up toy. He's moving, he's smiling, he's shaking. He's dead. And I'll prove it to you. Kibalti Merabosai, the Rambam says something that we should put the Sefer away. It doesn't make any sense. The Rambam says something it can't be. He says, on Rosh Hashanah, someone who's downed as a Rasha will die right away. Meis miyad. You ever see anybody drop dead in shul? Wow, so none of us have any problem. Nobody ever did. We can all calm down. This whole Rosh Hashanah thing is a big scam. The Rambam says, meis miyad. And Rav Moshe said, adavar noira. He said, yes, the guy dies right away. But he walks and he talks for the rest of his life. He's a wind-up toy. Olam kimin haganoi. He says the same jokes. He's as gishmak. But it was paskind on him that he has no movement for the rest of his life. Rachmana litzlan. A person who's willing to invest in Torah, Rabbi Isai, is investing in the next world. He's investing in an understanding that this is the real Metzias. And it requires a person to get into it, not just to be Jewish and come to Siddurim or this, to ask, to see, why is this so important? Why is this? Why is this better than millions of dollars? To figure that out, to give it a chance, to give it an investment. And Be'ezrat Hashem, anyone who wants to invest in Torah, even if it's a long-term investment, and even if it's not going to go right away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this guy's on my team, this is someone who's chai, who's alive, will be nichtav, all of us, Be'ezrat Hashem, k'sivu l'chassima toiva, a good gevenshtiyah.